Is fun a thing of the past? Sure, you can replace a lot of in-person activities with online versions, but is that actually fun? During the first few months of the pandemic, our guest says the experience was new. We maybe had the energy to try out a new hobby like baking or online board games. We thought maybe it'd be over soon, but now maybe we've lost a little bit of our zest. If you've found your life to be lacking in fun lately, you're not alone in that. Our next guest went on a quest to try to figure out where the fun had gone and what fun was all along. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Does this sound familiar to you? Have you been feeling stuck, maybe in a rut lately? Or what are you doing for fun? What is fun? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Rachel Sugar writes about pop culture, food, and feelings for publications like Vox, Bon Appetit, and New York Magazine. She wrote the piece, What Was Fun, for Vox. Rachel, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I know it sounds like these issues have been on your mind all along, but what really got you started down this road of figuring out what happened to the fun?
Yeah, I guess I just became increasingly aware this summer that, like, my life is fine. Like, things were fine. I was healthy. I was, you know, as employed as I ever am. And yet everything felt kind of devoid of joy and delight. Like, everything felt sort of the same slug, this sort of endless drudgery. And I didn't really understand exactly why that was happening, because again, things were, you know, I was very lucky and things were largely fine. And I kept joking with people, like, remember fun? Wasn't fun fun? And then I started to, like, become less clear what I was missing. Like, what is fun? Like, what is the thing that I am not experiencing? And that's how I started to sort of look into it. Like, what is this sort of ill-defined, like, you know it when you're having it, experience that is fun?
Yeah, and this took you to that fundamental level of what does it mean to have fun? And you talk to, you know, psychologists and other people who try to analyze what fun means, and it's harder than it sounds. How do the experts try to define what it means to have fun?
Yeah, you would think, when I started this, I sort of thought that there was going to be a very clear fun is X. And it's harder to define. I think, you know, one consistent theme that people kept bringing up is that it's just so subjective. What is fun? So, you know, one person I talked to had this sort of model of that, you know, fun is any activity that falls on the positive side of valence. So anything that you enjoy at all, that is, like, you enjoy more than you don't enjoy it would count as fun. And then within that, there are sort of high arousal versions of fun. So that would be, like, I don't know, like an amusement park or like going, like being on a roller coaster, and sort of quieter versions of fun, which would be like, you know, sitting in an armchair with a book. And that all rang true to me. It just seemed really, really vague, and kind of hard. It's like, I was still having trouble pinning it down. Another way to think about it is to sort of look at if you need, you know, when you experience fun, you're sort of having this engaging experience that is liberating, that, like, gives you a break somehow from the rest of your life. And I sort of liked that started to really speak to me, because I think it's the sense of difference that I was really missing, the sense that, like, there is a break. Like, everything in my life, like, being everything happening at home, everything happening with the same, you know, people that, you know, that you're seeing, that you're quarantined with, they're sort of the natural demarcations between, like, this is work and this is fun and this is sleeping and this is, you know, walking the dog or whatever. Those all started to collapse. So I became interested in this idea of kind of space being a thing that marks off fun, spontaneity being a thing that marks off fun, novelty, where something is new, that makes it easier to kind of escape yourself.
And that point, the novelty is one thing that sounds like it's been tricky for you and a lot of people with the pandemic. Like, okay, my fifth through 10th, I mean, I don't bake bread, but my fifth through 10th loaves of sourdough bread, that might have been fun. My 90th through 95th, maybe not. You know, those first Zoom drink sessions if people had those, fun, but that the novelty wears off there too. And maybe that's where a lot of people are now. What do you think?
That feels really true to me. That it's for me, I think it's the novelty plus the spontaneity. I mean, something that I really miss, it's like, just popping into there's a new store you're on a walk and you see something and you just pop in for a second. And that's something that's just not, I mean, I guess in some places that's starting to happen. That's not something I'm doing a lot. I'm not just, sitting in a cafe and listening to amusing conversations other people are having. Like, that's not happening. And yeah, and novelty. It's all possible. Like, it's all possible to find these things now, but I think it takes an amount of effort and planning that I think people, I know myself, are just too like burnt out to give it that. Like, you can have experiences, you can go to online events, you can gather people and meet in a park, and it's all possible to do, but it just takes an amount of engineering that is really, I think, hard to psych yourself up to do it these days.
Talking to Rachel Sugar, she writes for Vox and elsewhere. She wrote a piece called What Was Fun at the Vox website. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like you miss the fun things you used to do pre-pandemic? Have you found new ways to have fun? By all means, share them. Inspire the rest of us at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Connie is with us in Portage. Connie, hello.
Hi. Old and since the pandemic and the election and everything, and staying home all the time is a little depressing. Plus, we played euchre 3 times a week. And in March, when everything shut down, we haven't played euchre since. And it's very lonely because you miss all your friends, and we laughed. The fun was amazing. So now I get in my car every single day, and I'm learning about Wisconsin. I go, look, dark roads I've never been on before. I drive every single day, and that is what's kept me going. And I just went to an antique mall now, and I had a lot of fun.
Connie, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm glad you found some fun. I hope you get to play some euchre. Yeah, it gives new meaning to stay home in euchre versus having to stay home for a pandemic. So Connie misses that card game, Rachel. She has found ways to explore the world, which I've heard from a lot of people, including travel writer Rick Steves, talking about, let's take this opportunity to explore the world nearby us. I don't know. Are we tricking ourselves, or can we really have fun doing that, do you think?
I think we can really have fun doing that. I do. I think, I mean, I'm mostly getting around on foot these days, so I'm a little bit limited in how much exploring I can sort of do on a regular basis without really, you need bathrooms and stuff. It's you're a little limited.
Sure.
But I think, like, yeah, I mean, I think that is the novelty and the sort of engaging with the world in a new way. Even if it's a sort of basically familiar world, sort of discovering the small things, or maybe bigger things, but these differences that you wouldn't see otherwise. And I found that too, like noticing, being very aware, like there's a new bakery, we should try the new bakery. No, I mean, that feels real to me. I mean, there's some novelty, there's some spontaneity. You don't know what you're going to find. There's like a sense of adventure. She was talking about, discovering this antique mall. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what's been really hard to, or at least it's been hard for me to sort of create those situations. But I think those are largely the situations that I do miss. So it's great to hear that people are finding them.
We pick up our conversation now with writer Rachel Sugar, talking about her piece at Vox.com. It's called What Was Fun? And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had fun lately? What was it? Has the pandemic changed what you do for fun, what you think of as being fun in the first place? Do we overuse the word fun? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Rachel, one thing I've noticed is that, you know, pre-pandemic, trying to get four grown-ups together on a regular basis for whatever was like a logistical challenge on the order of the moon landing. It's easier to do it in some ways online, we've learned. Do you think that kind of online gathering may stick around? It won't replace in-person meetings, but it might stick around as a way of having fun with other people even after the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I have not found sort of the Zoom happy hour model of socializing super fulfilling. But I will say that one thing that's been really nice and that started sort of almost immediately was that distance stopped being a factor in who you hang out with and who you get to see and talk to the extent you're sort of seeing anybody. So all of a sudden, instead of just seeing, you know, friends that live in Brooklyn where I live, I was seeing friends that have moved to San Francisco. I was seeing friends in Norway. I was seeing friends in Michigan, because what's the difference? You know, like online, there is no, it's all the same. It's sort of this great flattening. So that has been genuinely really nice to feel connected. Like just to feel like distance sort of doesn't matter. And I hope that part sticks around. But I found, you know, my more fulfilling social encounters have been with people who live close by, meeting up in the park in person. Like for me, at least, I think Zoom, specifically Zoom. I mean, the phone is nice, but I'm pretty zoomed out.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Mandy is with us in Verona. Mandy, hello.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
What do you want to tell us about, Mandy?
Yeah, you know, during this time, we've been enjoying the outdoors a bit more and creating some new outdoor spaces. And I realize this doesn't probably work for everybody because we live in a rural area. But two things that we did is recreate some space in our yard. And one of that was to create kind of a mock campsite.
Huh.
We got a little fire pit, made a little tent pad. My kids set up a tent. We strung some string lights. We've been using that probably 3 to 4 times a week, hanging out outside because the weather's been so nice. So that's been a lot of fun.
Awesome, Mandy. Thank you so much for sharing that. Hope you can stick with at least some of that during the winter. And that fits in, Rachel, to, I think, a wider theme of people trying to change their personal space. You were talking earlier about you're in the same space more and more, whether you have a yard or just indoor space. I don't know. Some variety there, some novelty in our home setting. Can that be at least one element of recreating fun?
Yeah, I think, I think the idea of, you know, creating a campsite or people, I think there's been a real run on fire things. I don't know what they're called. But people have been buying those, I think, in big numbers. I mean, that seems genuinely fun to me. I think, you know, my own success at trying to demarcate areas in my tiny apartment has not been super successful, but I do think that the changing relationship to the outdoors, and again, like you said, I think we'll sort of see how this plays out in winter, although other places do it, so maybe we'll discover an ability to do it that I haven't had, at least in previous years. But like I go to the park all the time now. I go to the park every day now, which I didn't do before. And it is nice. And I know people have been redecorating like crazy. it's something. I mean, I think it's at the very least, it's something.
Mandy, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234, talking about fun and trying to find ways to keep our fun alive when we can, even during a pandemic. And Rachel, you look back at history just over 100 years ago to the misnamed Spanish flu epidemic, global epidemic, and you looked at what people were doing to try to have fun back then. What did you find out?
I thought it was sort of delightfully similar. It was so much more similar than I'd expected. But I was looking at some archival newspapers, and there's a piece in the LA Times from 1918 that's just laying out what people were doing, and it is so similar. A lot of reading, a lot of there was a great run on phonographs and player pianos. I think I'm not sure what the update of that might be. streaming services and, you know, ukuleles. I'm not totally sure. people were sort of really into fortune telling, outdoor sports. There was golf. People who had cars, taking long drives. You know, we talked about that just a few minutes ago. Playing sort of, yeah, socially distanced sports. Tennis was one. People talking about picnics. This was sort of the summer of the picnic. We'll see again going into winter. But a lot of my social life has been picnics in the park. I was looking for answers, and it sort of seems like maybe we found the answers. The answers seem pretty timeless.
And another thing that stood out to me was this newfangled communication technology went really big, the telephone. There were complaints that people were blah-blahing so much to pass the time that it was clogging the phone lines.
Yeah, that's what I've read. And they were like, there were all these ads from papers at that time that are like, stop talking. Like, we need the phones for emergencies. Like, get off the phone. And that certainly feels, I mean, that feels totally familiar. I've talked to a lot of friends who you know, I'm millennial, I guess we don't like the phone generally, but I've talked to a lot of people who are like, we should talk on the phone more. So again, it seems like we're back.
Well, you've done this deep exploration of fun in your own life and around the country during the pandemic. I mean, I think you kind of left it open in some ways in your piece, but do you have some thoughts for people who are feeling as you do that they haven't quite recaptured their old sense of fun? Are there thoughts of starting points where we can try to rekindle that?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, some of it has been just like not acceptance of not having fun, but not being as resistant to the idea that, like, if this is not the most fun period of my life, that's okay. And then part of it, I mean, I've been a real proponent of, like, we just need warm coats. Like, we do not have to fall prey to winter. Like, we do not need to never see each other again outside. We just need to, you know, dress for the weather. We'll see if I can stick to that. But I've been a little bit, I'm trying to be a little bit less judgmental of myself for some of the things. Like, I've been binge watching a lot of television, and like, okay, maybe that's okay for now.
And actually, another point I wanted to get to is, you know, especially, I mean, you were in New York, which saw the worst of this thing. But you are, and you were when this is at its worst. And the thought of maybe, well, if I'm having fun, should I feel guilty about it? How do you reckon with that?
Yeah, I mean, look, like it was, as it has been at various points, a lot of places. It was haunting in March and early April with the constant sirens. And at the same time, I think it's not helpful to, it doesn't save anyone's life to feel terrible at home. Mm-hmm. Like there are people who are doing real work, whether it's like essential work or mutual aid that is like actually life-saving, but sitting at home, not having fun versus sitting at home, having fun, doesn't really seem to me to have a huge moral difference. So I'm in favor of the fun one.
Rachel, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing this with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Rachel Sugar writes about pop culture, food, and feelings for publications like Vox, Bon Appetit, and New York Magazine. We've been talking about a piece she wrote. It appeared at Vox.com titled, What Was Fun? You can keep sharing your thoughts, by the way, and experiences at the Ideas Network Facebook page. Have you found new forms of fun in the last, 6, 7 months now?